A road rage shooting that was caught on camera and killed a man avoids a mistrial. WREL explains what happened in court and why the defense is calling this a tragic accident. Then hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians could be left without insurance if lawmakers don't agree soon on a budget deal. New at 7, our live conversation with the state health secretary about the fight to expand Medicaid.
I'm timing out two cool downs we'll feel in the next 7 days. And when North Carolina could feel some impacts from Tropical Storm Franklin.
The murder trial for a man accused of killing a motorcyclist during a road rage incident will proceed after nearly being declared a mistrial today.
A video here captured those moments leading up to the fatal shooting in Cumberland County. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. 52-year-old Roger Nobles is charged with first-degree murder for the death of 32-year-old Stephen Addison back in January of 2022.
Tomorrow, the jury will begin deliberations in his trial. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays explains what happened in court today.
Well, this was an emotional day in court today, and it started with the potential of a mistrial. That's because a juror and alternate juror were overheard discussing this case in the courthouse cafeteria. That evidence was presented to Superior Court Judge Gail Adams, and she decided in the end to just replace those two jurors and avoid a mistrial. So this is a picture of Roger Nobles. And during closing arguments, defense attorney Corey Brewer said that this was a tragic accidental shooting. Brewer confirmed Nobles had a road rage incident January 2nd of last year, but his client only pulled out the gun to scare Stephen Addison, who was having a confrontation with his son. Brewer says Noble had never fired a gun in his life and that he thought the safety was on. He says Noble thought he was having a heart attack. His hand was shaking and his fingers accidentally pulled the trigger. He asked the jury to find Noble's not guilty or guilty of involuntary manslaughter. But Assistant DA Joel Thompson had a different take on this situation altogether. He says after Roger told his son to move out the way, he shot Addison in cold blood without remorse. He wants the jury to find Nobles guilty of first-degree murder with malice. This was an emotional day for Addison's wife, who was in the courthouse today. She left the courtroom on a couple of occasions when she became emotional. The jury gone home for today. They will begin their deliberation sometime tomorrow. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
The man facing murder charges accused of beating his parents in Raleigh could get the death penalty. Christopher McCullough made a brief appearance in court this afternoon, just 24 hours after his mother died from her injuries. McCullough is accused of beating both of his parents at their home on August 6th in front of his 2-year-old son. His father is still in the hospital. Today, a judge appointed McCullough an attorney and is being held on no bond. He will be back in court on September 12th. Police have arrested a man in connection with a sexual assault in Durham 32 years later. 60-year-old Kenneth Lunsford is now charged with first-degree burglary, first-degree rape, and attempted first-degree sexual offense. This stems from an incident back in 1991 when a woman said a man broke into her home and sexually assaulted her. Decades later, police linked Lunsford to the crime, though through a DNA match from a sexual assault kit from the case. He's being held on $1.5 million bond.
Friends are trying to bury Delilah Westmoreland, a woman who police say was shot and killed by her own daughter, Jada. A GoFundMe raised more than $1,000 in less than a day. WRL's Monica Casey spoke with co-workers of this woman about her impact as a mother, a wife, and a nurse.
Delilah Westmoreland's 19-year-old daughter is charged with her murder. Hillsborough police say Jada Westmoreland shot her mother multiple times at this apartment and then kidnapped her 2-year-old brother last Monday night. Jada Westmoreland showed no emotion during her first appearance in Orange County Court. She's charged with first-degree murder and kidnapping and was given no bond. Search warrants we found in Durham County Court shed more light on where she was arrested. A sheriff's deputy writes that he found evidence of possible fraudulent credit cards at that home in Durham County. Delilah's friends say she was peace in the storm of the pandemic.
Always the person to say, it is okay. We'll get through it. It is all right. We'll make it work.
Anne Marie Patterson Powell is in shock about the circumstances of her friend's death.
This is so hard for all of us because I've never heard an angry word from her. I've never heard an argument with anyone from her. it was just always, okay, here comes Delilah. She's going to help us.
She calls Delilah a dedicated nurse.
Very kind, committed to her job and what she need and what she needed to do for her patients. And we miss her. We miss her terribly.
We are waiting to hear back on whether Jada Westmoreland faces additional charges on possible financial crimes in either Durham or Orange counties. In Hillsborough, Monica Casey, WREL News.
We are watching multiple systems in the tropics tonight. This is a live look at the satellite over my shoulder. You see Harold there. It's weakened to a depression after making landfall today. And Franklin could bring impacts here. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WREL Severe Weather Center tracking it all. Kat?
Harold starting to move toward Texas at this point. It's brought a lot of heavy rain to South Texas, moving into Mexico. And Texas is under a drought. They really needed this rain, but parts of the state saw 4 to 6 inches, even some locally higher totals in the southeast part of the state. But our attention quickly shifting to Tropical Storm Franklin. It is set to make landfall tonight and early tomorrow morning on the island of Hispaniola. Mountainous terrain, very heavy rain expected for parts of the Dominican Republic, Haiti, over to Puerto Rico. As we get into the middle of the week, it's likely to steer just east of the Turks and Caicos, but it moves into very weak steering currents, and it's going to move slowly after that, potentially strengthening into a Category 1 hurricane by Sunday. For us here in North Carolina, at this point, it looks unlikely that we would see any kind of direct impact, though with the system possibly passing between the East Coast and Bermuda, we could see some very high wave heights between about 4 to 8 feet right along our coast. So beach erosion, rough surf, and rip currents are possible for the weekend and early next week. We're also tracking just a few spotty showers in the northern part of Wake County. I'll have more on the radar coming up.
Lots to track there. Thank you, Kat.
The father of Tennessee Titans cornerback Caleb Farley died after an explosion leveled their home near Lake Norman. And I mean leveled. Look at this video. Farley is a North Carolina native. His father, 61-year-old Robert Farley, was found under that debris early this morning after the home collapsed following the explosion. Farley's friend was there, too, Christian Rogers, who actually walked out of the home when first responders showed up. Rogers was taken to the hospital for a concussion. Investigators still don't know what caused this explosion at the $3 million home. They say it appears to be an accident, though, and believe a gas leak could be to blame.
With the start of the traditional calendar school year less than a week away, leaders are addressing students' mental health despite gaps in staffing. A Wake County social worker says mental health issues are often tied to other factors like food insecurity and home environments. The school system is now offering in-school mental health services at 42 schools. They're planning to expand those services until they're available at all schools. A large part of the expansion is having the staff support them, but the school system has faced hiring challenges.
There has been more need for employers and organizations to increase wages and reimbursement rates in order to recruit and retain.
Across the state, the ratio of guidance counselors to students has improved. However, it's still not what it should be. The district says its support professionals play an essential role in personal and academic success.
Thousands of North Carolinians are forced to use contaminated water after toxic chemicals were dumped into their water supply by a plant in Fayetteville. It's the subject of our latest WREL documentary premiering tomorrow night. WREL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance teamed up with WREL's environmental reporter Liz McLaughlin to tell this complex story. Kristen spoke with Liz about how this contamination happened and the people fighting for answers.
Joining me now is Liz McLaughlin, WREL climate change and environmental reporter. Liz, thank you so much for talking with me about this. You know, you have been studying forever chemicals. You've been reporting on forever chemicals for over a year now. You know, why are you so passionate about this subject?
It just all started with knocking on doors in the Fayetteville area near the Chemours Chemical Plant, formerly DuPont, where these forever chemicals have been polluted for decades. And every single person that I talked to had a story, and often a heartbreaking one, including a woman who was pregnant and drinking contaminated water. in America, in our own state, drinking water that has been linked to birth defects, to cancer, to a host of health problems. And every day we're learning more about this class of chemicals called forever chemicals because they stay in the environment, in the human body without degrading, learning more about the scope of this problem. What has really stood out to you producing this documentary?
You know, I think the fact that it happened, you know, we learned about this contamination 5 years ago, and it's still happening. You know, meeting people, you and I, when we went to Fayetteville and we sat down face to face with all of these people, and we said, you know, how is this impacting you? One of the first people we interviewed, Carrie Atkins, said, I have cancer. My dogs have cancer. You know, Kelly Arthur said, my daughter had cancer, and their across-the-street neighbor had the same cancer. And these health studies are linked to cancer and birth defects. And then when you talk to the people impacted by it, it's really heartbreaking, and it really stays with you.
This chemistry is complicated. The litigation, the regulation surrounding this is very complex. And so to be able to dig into it a little bit, I think people will be really surprised how interesting this is and angered by it.
It's in all of us, right? It really impacts all of us, not just people who live around this plant.
If you tried tomorrow to take PFAS out of your life, it would be nearly impossible.
Right.
Everything you can think of, from toilet paper to dental floss to yoga mats, has this stuff in there.
Thank you so much, Liz. Hope everyone watches Forever Chemicals and learns a lot. We will be sure to keep following up on this incredibly important story.
Thank you to Kristen and Liz. And you can watch Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's Toxic Tap Water. It's tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. on WRAL or on WRAL.com or on the WRAL documentary YouTube page at 8 p.m.
Still ahead, lawmakers have about a week to reach a deal on the budget, and this is leaving hundreds of thousands of people without insurance in our state in limbo. Hear from the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Cody Kinsley about the holdup next in a live interview. Plus, it has never been less affordable to buy a home in the Triangle. A look at where prices stand right now and what's causing this cost of home ownership to become so out of reach for so many people. Taking a live look now at the North Carolina Legislative Building, where the clock is ticking for lawmakers to reach a deal on their annual budget as Medicaid expansion hangs in the balance. The State House and Senate have been bickering over the budget for weeks now, leaving more than 500,000 North Carolinians without insurance for even longer. If lawmakers don't make a deal by August 31st, those thousands of people could have to wait potentially until December to get Medicaid benefits. North Carolina's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Cody Kinsley, joins us now live. Secretary, thank you for joining us here.
It's great to be here.
Last week, House Speaker Tim Moore made it sound like you could still roll out Medicaid expansion by October 1st if they can get this deal, this budget deal, reached by mid-September. Is that accurate? Can you clarify?
So we really need the thumbs up. And look, it doesn't have to be the budget. It could be authority just to give us permission to move forward no later than September 1st for us to do that. We've got 8 more days before then. We need to get that done. My team's going to work every way possible to get this done for North Carolina as soon as possible, but we really need their help in giving us the authority to move forward.
Okay, so essentially that inference there is wrong.
That would be very hard for us to drive that home. Yes.
Okay. You have called on the state lawmakers to decouple Medicaid expansion from the budget so that you can, as you were just referencing, get that passed. What conversations have you been having with lawmakers as we are now just about a week away from that deadline?
You know, I think we've been trying to communicate that this is a really complex reality for a lot of folks. Medicaid expansion gives 600,000 North Carolinians the coverage that they desperately need to be well and to be working and to support their families. On day one, Medicaid expansion will give coverage to 300,000 North Carolinians. Think about it. Being able to cover your costs for your prescriptions, being able to go to the doctor when you don't feel well. And instead, what people are doing now is they're just ignoring those illnesses, and they're building up to the point that they end up in the ED, and it's so much more expensive for everyone. This is a smart investment. Let's get this done.
So, but what are they saying in response?
Well, you know, what we're hearing is that they're working hard on negotiating the budget. I want them to negotiate the budget. There's things in there like investments for behavioral health, investments in state staff that help keep us all healthy and well that are really important. I hope they're pushing hard on those things, but this doesn't have to be tied to the budget. We can get this decoupled and get this done.
And they're saying it's not going to happen that way?
Well, they're very focused on getting the budget done, you know, but they thought they were going to get the budget done at the end of June, and here we are.
Right, right. I want to talk to you about COVID. We're seeing an uptick in those numbers. The virus season is coming up. Aside from getting the vaccine, what kind of measures is your department taking to prevent the spread of COVID as we get through that?
You know, I encourage folks to look at our respiratory illness dashboard where we track a number of respiratory illnesses in addition to COVID. COVID is going to be with us like those other diseases for the foreseeable future. It's going to rise and fall. Right now, we're seeing a slight rise in COVID cases. The good news is we have the tools to manage COVID so it doesn't manage us. Be vaccinated, have tests on hand, get treatment if you get COVID, test when you don't feel well, and maybe layer up with other things. Some folks may choose to wear a mask, among other things, during periods of surge. Right now, the surge levels are not much higher than where they were about this time last summer.
Could we see schools closing again?
That is not where we need to be. We have the tools to manage COVID, so it doesn't manage
us. It's not looking like that's going to be a solution for you guys. Okay, thank you so much for joining us. And tomorrow, Representative Donnie Lambeth, Vice Chair of the House Health Committee, has agreed to take my questions here live on WREL at 7 o'clock about this important topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's talk about mortgage rates here. They are the highest they've been in more than 20 years. It's making it very hard, harder every day, really, for more families to buy a home in the Triangle. The affordability index dropped to a new low, 71. What that means is the typical family only earns 71% of the income that they need to buy a typical home. Right now, the median price is $416,000 across 16 counties that make up the Triangle MLS.
The median income was never insufficient to qualify for a median priced home until the craziness that happened during COVID in the housing market. And since then, it hasn't recovered above 100. In fact, it's continued the slope down.
The average household in Raleigh lost about $100,000 in buying power in the last year because of those rising mortgage rates. Realtors tell us that's forcing some buyers to look farther out from the Triangle just to find a home that they can afford. Let's take a look at the weather moving across our area as we are joined by meteorologist Kat Campbell. A couple of little showers popping up tonight.
And these are right in Wake County. They're fast-moving showers, so once they hit, they should blow out pretty quickly. But we do have some rain in North Raleigh, just starting to enter 540 area around North Raleigh. Wendell's seeing some rain, Knightdale, and this should stay mainly on the east side of town in Raleigh and the eastern part of Wake County. We have seen some showers off to our southeast as well, but really, the notable showers are these that are moving through Wake County. Elsewhere, things are nice and quiet. So we have to give a shout out to Ashley Rowe, our anchor here. Her daughter's going to help me out with the after dinner ice cream forecast. She's doing a great job. She's taking the ice cream seriously there at Howling Cow, where Ashley shot this video. I love it. It's just a nice summer evening to get some ice cream in. Kids head back to school in less than a week, so it's a good night for it while you can fit it in before the school year. And our WREL Weather Watcher photo today is from Ethan Clark on NC State's campus. You can see some of the haze from the Canadian wildfires that we saw today. I think things will improve tomorrow for us, and it ends up being just a beautiful day. Shouldn't be so hot for anybody walking around outside tomorrow. 87 in Raleigh, just 1 degree below normal for this time of year. 84 in Roxborough, 85 in Rocky Mount, 88 in Sanford and Fayetteville, 87 degrees in Smithfield. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be less humid all around. It is going to be a beautiful summer day. Still warm, though, upper 80s. So don't worry, summer lovers. We're not to fall just yet. 70 degrees at breakfast time. Maybe take your lunch outside tomorrow. 82 degrees, and great grilling weather for dinner should be right around 82 as well. Off the top of the newscast, I told you about the tropics. They are active, but we have started to see some of these systems weaken. From yesterday, the ones in the central Atlantic, they're no longer systems. Harold, now a tropical depression. So the focus is going to be on Franklin, set to make landfall as we head throughout the next 24 hours on the island of Hispaniola. Let's take a look at the model plots. You'll notice a little wiggle going on here, likely to stay east of the Turks and Caicos, move into very much just not a steering current that's going to push it along much. So it's going to move very slowly and then eventually get steered back to the north. We'll be watching to see if that system stays west or east of Bermuda. Regardless, we could see some rough surf here in North Carolina. We'll be keeping a close eye on it for you. Since it's going to be slow moving at one point, we've got a long ways to go to track it. Enjoy tomorrow because the heat is back. We're up to 99 by Friday, 94 on Saturday, and then a little more comfortable as we get into the start of next week. Dan and
that's
Ashley.
Ice cream weather. Yes. Ice cream weather moving.
She rocked it, Ashley.
Oh, well, she did.
Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, driverless taxis are officially on the roads in Raleigh. A look at how testing is going so far. And we'll get an update on the rollout. So today, testing on driverless taxis began in Raleigh.
They still make me nervous, but I mean, look, this is the rollout. It was it's a company called Cruise. They're testing this technology all over the country. We told you about Charlotte hosting a testing program last week. A few hiccups there. There was one car that was parked in the middle of the road. Another had to kind of a close call as it merged onto a busy street. But there were no accidents. There were no injuries. Cruise says that they'll have updates on the Raleigh tests in the days ahead. And I'll be anxious to hear not only how the company says things are going, but anybody who actually rode in these things on our streets.
The future is now.
Yeah. The Wolfpack collaboration that you might know pretty well is coming to an end.
NC State fans will no longer be able to sip Old Tuffy Premium Lager while enjoying basketball and football games. The university and New Belgium Brewery have agreed to end their four-year co-branded beer partnership. The lager and related merchandise will be available on a limited basis until current supplies are sold. NC State expects to announce a new beer sponsorship at the start of football season.
Interesting.
A new animal is coming to the Greensboro Science Center.
Meet Indy, a two-toed sloth with a cool little upside-down look there. This is one of several new animals coming to the Science Center's new exhibit, Expedition Rainforest. The new exhibit is still a ways away. We should say the Science Center plans to break ground on the $20 million facility sometime next year. For now, though, Indy will live in the Amazon exhibit at the Science Center's aquarium.
Love
Go
a good
check
sloth.
Them out. Thanks for I love a good sloth, too. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.